If the roar of the crowd gives you goosebumps, catching a slip makes you grin, and above all, you love making your bookie cry, then you're in the right place. The number one spot for premier betting advice and wild opinions, shared with a fan base like no other. Welcome home. This is the Punch List MMA Podcast.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? It's your boy Dale in here. Special edition episode. I decided to switch things up this week. I know you guys always ask me what I think and feel about certain things. I wanted to bring in a different side of the other side of the table, right? So I invited the head of the Pennsylvania Antifa chapter. the soy jack himself, the Soylent kid. How are you doing, sir? Did you vote today?
I did. And I now go by the guy she told you not to worry about. Because the beard's gone.
Oh, my gosh,
baby. Bro. Oh, yeah. Dude. Oh, yeah.
First of all, you without a beard is wild. I can tell that you've been breathing out of your mouth for 25 years.
Yeah.
And two, do you feel lighter?
I do. I got insulted at work.
There you go. That'll do it.
I walked in and I walked past somebody, guy that I joke with at work. Mm-hmm. And as I was walking, he turned around and he said, "What's up, Rufus?" Referencing the naked mole rat from Kim Possible.
Wow. And I would have completely.
Yeah. I was like, wow.
That would have missed me. Hey,
thanks, man.
That hurts. That stings a little bit. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen a naked mole rat. I don't know what Rufus looked like, but I've seen a naked mole rat before. They're hideous little creatures. Yeah, so
it's because you didn't have a childhood.
You're absolutely right. I did not. So thank you for that. Thanks. Not like that's something we need to talk about, but you're absolutely right. So, dude, what a weird day. What a weird, what a weird
erection
time.
Day.
It is erection day. Things are spicy out there. I know you're not a big politics guy. People listen to the show for MMA, not politics, but it was a weird day. It's a weird day today. What do you think?
It is a weird day. And a lot of focus is on the state of Pennsylvania because it's viewed at as a swing state right now. Whether or not Fetterman or Oz gets into office can dictate who has control of the Senate. It's a big deal. It really is.
I'm glad you brought up swing. Cause I want to ask you something.
Swingers.
I was made privy to a conspiracy theory, and I know that you're a big conspiracy theory guy as well. Are you familiar with the conspiracy theory on why there is a chair and only one chair in every hotel room?
No. I thought you were going to hit me with some like Florida stuff where people put different color, like there's different color chairs you put on your porch. Yep. That dictate what kind of swinger you are.
Yeah. Here in South Carolina, it's a pineapple. If you decorate your door with a pineapple, that's a big thing here.
I just saw a video of a dude buying something off of somebody on Craigslist. And it was an upside down pineapple. And he's like, "This looks really sweet." And then when he figured out the true meaning behind it, he realized what he paid for.
Yeah.
But okay. So one chair in, just for somebody to watch. Yeah.
They call it the cuck chair.
Oh. I think I've spent nights sleeping in a cuck chair.
I fell down a rabbit hole. I found a tweet where somebody said that a guy's whole house was decorated in nothing but cuck chairs. And I thought, in my head, I said, "What's a cuck chair?" Thankfully, the internet has, no limit to the resources available. So somebody tweeted underneath it, said, "What's a cuck chair?" And they said, "It's the solo chair in a hotel room. There's a reason why there's only one chair in a hotel room. It's the cuck chair." And I was like, this is, I never knew this, but it makes perfect sense.
Here I thought it was just like logistics and just the overall spacing of the room. You can't fit a second chair.
It's not. It's not.
There's purpose behind it. there's
incredible. You got the cuck chair, and then you got the Bible in the nightstand.
Yeah, yes.
I mean, it just
they depends. Go hand in hand.
It just depends on what you're doing in the room.
Fetterman's up about 220,000 votes right now, but only 27% of the votes are reported.
Of course. I mean, it's interesting. It's interesting.
Philadelphia is going to be spicy.
Spicy. Let me ask you this, because I don't want to get into party affiliation, because you know me, I don't like any of them. I don't any of them. I write myself in consistently every time. Do you?
People love you. People love people like you.
I do it every time. Every time I write it in. And so what was I going to say? Oh, do you think that voting still works?
In what way?
Like, do you think your vote counts for anything? Like, do you think legitimately somebody says, this guy's vote tabulated, put it in the right column. You think that's a real thing that's happened?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
Okay, cool. A lot of people don't think that.
I know.
Let me ask you another question.
Okay.
Do you think voting will change anything?
I think this, this election, yes.
Ooh,
because it's not necessarily, and that this goes into party affiliation.
Uh-oh.
Say I voted for Oz.
Yeah.
If I voted for Oz, I'm not voting for Oz. I'm voting for the Republican Party.
Ugh, yeah.
Because you're voting for your party to take control of the House or take control of the Senate, to have the majority number.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, that's what this election right now has come down to in the state of Pennsylvania.
Right, but the president has veto power, so it just shuts it all down. When you sit a stalemate for 2 years, it doesn't do anything.
Correct. Right. Which at this point, with what we have in office, having the Republican House and Senate sitting in stalemate for the next 2 years is probably the best case option.
Dude, you know it'd be super cool. You know it'd be really cool. Do you ever see? I think they canceled it, but you remember that show with Kiefer Sutherland?
24?
No, the other one. The other one.
No, I don't.
There was one where he was like, I don't know if he's like a senator or what his deal was, but like he was the person that like during like the State of the Union address, they kept him away from
Designated Survivor.
Dude.
Good show.
Was it?
Yeah,
we should do that. Like
two or three seasons. Yeah.
We should do that. I think we should just wipe it all out and start all over again.
Was it Kiefer Sutherland?
I don't know. I feel like it was Kiefer.
I don't think it was.
What a great name. Have you ever heard of any other person named Kiefer on the planet Earth?
No. You're correct. It was Kiefer Sutherland. Well done.
I knew I was correct.
I did watch, I think, the first three seasons of it. First season was the plot of it was so interesting to me.
Yeah.
Super I mean, smart. And then obviously like Olympus Has Fallen happened and it's like, oh yeah.
All right. One more thing, and then we'll get into UFC 281 taking place on pay-per-view this upcoming Saturday. Israel Adesanya versus Alex Pereira. Now, I did see that there was one Powerball ticket sold in Los Angeles County, which is very interesting to me because that is the state with the highest tax bracket and also happens to have a massive deficit, which this lottery win will help eliminate a good portion of that, which is very interesting and convenient, by the way, considering the machines went down, they come back up and the winning ticket was sold in LA County. Okay. Okay. That being said, what if instead of the $2 billion, you could be president for the next 2 years? So
yes, because the president gets paid for the rest of his life.
See, I knew you were a cash annuity guy.
Yeah, that's a long-term deal, baby.
Okay. All right.
100%.
Yeah.
You are going down in the history books. Everybody's going to know who you are.
Okay. So
right or wrong, Jimmy.
Immortality. Carter, so you get immortality.
And you're getting paid the rest of your life.
The rest of your life and immortality.
100%.
So even now, though.
The odds of the Powerball ticket being sold in California, it's twice as likely to happen in California than it is any other state due to their population. So, true.
Well, no, because that's based on it's based on participation, not state population.
Right, but the higher your population, the more participation you're going to have.
Not necessarily true.
Oh, I disagree.
Not necessarily true at all. Think about it like this. When Nebraska has a home game, right?
Okay.
When Nebraska has a home game, that stadium becomes the second most populous place in the state.
Okay.
But then when they leave, it's no longer the second most populous place in the state. They make it such by participation.
I feel like those two don't correlate, but okay.
No, think of, okay. Same thing like Florida, right?
Okay.
Florida, I have no idea. This is why we have producer Jake. I'm willing to bet that Florida has more lottery participants than any other state in the United States, despite not having the highest population.
It's the third highest population.
Florida has the third highest population?
Yeah, I think it's California, Texas, and then Florida.
Holy shit.
Yeah, California's like 40 million.
Now, California's, I know.
Texas, I think, is 30, and then Florida's like 20 something, 21, 22.
Why are we ruining all the good places with lots of people?
Ugh. Yeah. So,
and I say that about Florida. Fuck California and Texas. I don't like either one of those places.
Yeah.
Cuck
chair was probably invented in California.
It seems like a California thing. Seems like I feel like Don Draper was the first person to sit in a cuck chair.
Specifically like the San Diego area.
Fucking madman. All right. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready? UFC 281 takes place this weekend. Oh man. You know, what's crazy. I'm almost more excited for this card than I was the Islam Charlie Olives card.
Card's great.
You agree with that? Sentiment?
There's early prelims on this card that I'm super excited to watch.
I like that
one. The feature early prelim being exact, but
yeah. We did have a fight announcement today, and I want to run it by you real quick.
Okay.
My man Jim Miller is coming back.
Back at it.
He's back at it again.
Back at it.
Yeah, fighting Gabriel Mowgli Benitez.
What do you think the odds are going to come out on that?
I feel like Benitez is probably going to be minus 175.
So Jim Miller.
Yeah. Well, it's always going to be Jim Miller.
It's going to be Jim Miller.
It's always going to be Jim Miller. It's always Jim Miller. Always. They only show per money spent per state, not per person. Okay. Austin says, I was let down by 280. I think I was too. I feel like it was good, but not great. Not a great event. But it was good. All right. So we got 281. If I've got my bout order correctly, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is Dan Hooker, Claudio Pulisch. That's what we're going with the first fight.
Should be the first fight on the main card.
Dan the Hangman Hooker at 21-12, Claudio Pulisch at 12-2. Pulisch is the +140, Dan Hooker at a -160. Over under on rounds is at 2.5. A lot of questions, a lot of concerns going into this fight for both gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
What do you have to lead us off?
I like Dan Hangman Hooker in this fight.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to right his wrongs. He's lost 4 of his last 5, correct?
Yeah. It's a rough spell. Yeah. Yeah.
But look at who he's lost to.
100%.
He wasn't supposed to win any of those fights. Looking back at it, I don't think there's a fight that he should have won there.
Mm.
Okay. Yeah, I like the experience. I like the level of competition that Dan Hooker's fought here. And I think if Dan Hooker can keep this fight standing, I think his advantage striking, I wouldn't be surprised if Hooker gets him out of there.
Okay with that.
Yeah.
He's got to obviously he has to avoid the knee bar. He's got to avoid the submission attempts.
3 knee bar submissions.
Yeah.
I mean, good.
You know he's going to roll for it. You know,
absolutely.
He'll be Imanari and like freaking Sonic the Hedgehog across the cage trying to get to him. I agree with you. I think those are salient points. I think one of the factors to take into account here too is Dan Hooker's fighting on the same card with his teammates. And Dan Hooker, for lack of a better way to put it, fighting naked, doesn't really fight well. But when he's got his boys with him, he tends to do a lot better. Hold on, I got to sneeze.
What do they call Dan Hooker? Your favorite fighter's favorite fighter?
I don't know if anybody calls him that. But
I've heard that reference before.
Yeah, but I mean, that might be people that casually watch MMA. I don't know about that. I mean,
he's a likable guy.
Dan Hooker's a likable guy.
But going back to his
Dan losses. Hooker was charging $1,200 on Cameo for him to say hi to you. What a freaking ball bag.
Go. So Dan Hooker, Arnold Allen. Yes. Arnold Allen should have won that fight.
And he was supposed to. Yes, correct.
But yes. Dan Hooker, Islam.
Yeah, I mean, of course.
Yeah. Dan Hooker, Dustin Poirier.
He gave Poirier all he could handle.
He did. That was an amazing fight.
He gave Poirier all he could handle. All right, go ahead. Sorry.
And then what was the other one? Oh, Michael Chandler.
Chandler, he looked like a deer in the headlights.
Yeah, dude, he looked so lost.
I don't know if it was the Fight Island thing or what was going on, but he was not – he looked terrified to be in there with Michael Chandler. Yeah, and I don't know if – you know, again, but we're talking like peak COVID hysteria, Fight Island, away from his family for eons, and then probably just thinking in his head the entire time, I can't fucking lose to this guy.
Right.
I really hope I don't lose to him. And then what happens?
He loses. Scared.
Yeah. He fought just off the back foot the entire time. Yeah, and then
not typical Dan Hooker.
No, not at all. I like him in this. I think one of the things to look out for that I think Dan Hooker does really well, and it's a weapon that he's utilized time and time again, is that step in knee. He loves to try to thwart takedowns by timing your shot with a step in knee, whether he brings it high or brings it low, but he loves to throw that. He'll be the bigger man physically, the stronger man physically. I think Hooker's worth your consideration here. Now, that being said, if he loses to Claudio, it's over. Like, we got to just fade for further notice. It's over with. We'll be looking at Dan Hooker versus Shane Burgos in the PFL here pretty soon.
And Shane Burgos will kill him.
Shane Burgos is hurt. He's out of his fight in the PFL. It sucks.
Yeah.
So anyway. All right. Next fight. Any props you're interested on that before we move on?
Not really.
Okay.
Dan Frankie. Third round TKO, but that's about it.
All right. Frankie Edgar, Chris Gutierrez. Frankie Edgar, 24-10-1. Chris Gutierrez, 18-3-2. El Wapo.
What a goofy line this is. -223 and +188. Like, yeah, what a very goofy line.
Very strange. Over on rounds coming in at 2.5. The retirement fight for the answer.
It's awesome,
and they gave him a bad matchup, I believe.
Yeah. Yes, they did.
There's nothing like, here's one thing, right? It's one thing to have a send-off fight that's a bad matchup. It's another one that's like think about it like this, right? Like Jay Will, White Chocolate himself, right? Retires from the NBA. Comes back for that big three-on-three league.
Yeah, dude.
Like, oh, we could see Jay Will play again one more time. Blows his ACL out.
Yeah.
This is that.
Yeah.
This is that. Like, Frankie Edgar, oh my gosh, one more time into the breach. Frankie, hometown crowd. Chris Gutierrez is gonna kick his legs off. Like, you're going to get to see Frankie Edgar blow his ACL out for, like, I mean, he went a 20-year fighting career from fighting on MTV True Life, I Want to Be a Fighter, to beating BJ Penn back-to-back fights. You know, I mean, dude, you're talking about, I mean, just
countless title fights,
countless wars,
the most fight of the night bonuses in UFC history, the most time logged in the octagon in UFC history.
Yeah, a surefire Hall of Famer if there ever was one.
Without question. Yeah.
And you're going to see him get crippled by some dude who is most famous for having John Anik talk about how he doesn't get to see his kids. Like, that's Chris Gutierrez's claim to fame, is that he stole Boss Rutan's nickname, and John Anik talked about how he doesn't have custody of his kids. But he's going to go out there, and he's just a freaking nightmare matchup for Frankie, man.
It's bad news. It would be, like, as cool as it would be to see Frankie make one last walk in MSG and go out and get the – I don't want to say there's no way, but there's – there's pretty close to no way he wins this fight.
I think
mine is -223, and I know that's a lot of juice. I feel like that's a steal.
I don't want to say that, like, so like the MMA gods love an underdog. I have no problem with that. But one of the things that the MMA gods don't like is a beautiful death.
Yeah.
They don't like a beautiful death at all.
No.
It's the fight game as a whole has never been keen on beautiful deaths. Mm-mm. You have to force it, if you will. Like, you have to Khabib yourself before it happens to you, because if you stay 1 minute longer than you're supposed to, they'll kill you. They'll kill you in emphatic fashion. And I think Frankie's been done for a while, and you know, this is not it. I mean, this is a Viking funeral for Frankie Edgar. All of his friends and family are going to be gathered, and they're just going to loose the flaming arrow into the octagon, which is a Chris Gutierrez leg kick. I hate it for him, but it's coming.
Yeah.
I hate it. All right. I'm on Gutierrez, but I don't like it. I don't like it. That being said, real quick, I'm hoping that Frankie wins. And every time I fade Frankie, he wins. So, and every time I play him, he loses. So I'll take one for the team here and say that I like Gutierrez to beat him, if it means that Frankie gets the beautiful death.
Okay. Yeah.
But Gutierrez is going to be
reverse psychology. Fading yourself.
Fading myself. I'm fading the fade of myself. I'm fading the fade. All right. Dustin Poirier taking on Michael Chandler. Chandler at 23-7. Poirier at 28-7. And I am interested. This is probably, I know a lot of people are going to give a lot of credence to the Izzy and Pereira fight, but if we're being honest,
this is the people's main event.
This is the people's main event.
Oh,
this
my
is
the, God.
It sucks that it's not five rounds, but that means that we get a great pace for three.
Absolutely.
So I will let you lead off with this one. Chandler at a +185, Poirier -215, over on a round set at 1.5. Let her rip, Tater Chip.
Dude, unless Michael Chandler digs in and brings out the Division I wrestler in himself, he is fucked if he stands there and tries to fight with Dustin Poirier. Michael Chandler, as we've seen in his most recent fights, subjects himself to copious amounts of damage.
Yeah.
And Diamond is not the guy you want to stand there and let hit you.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm really upset that Poirier is a -215 here. Yeah. Really upset. I was hoping he was going to be more like a -170-ish, but Dustin Poirier in this fight.
You think knockout?
Yeah.
So Gaethje couldn't get Chandler out of there. You think Poirier does?
Yeah. I think Poirier hits harder and more accurate, and he's more accurate than Justin Gaethje. He puts more of a volume on him. Yes. Yes, dude.
You think Dustin Poirier hits harder than Justin Gaethje?
Okay, so maybe not one punch, but I believe of the volume of punches does more damage. Let me put it that way.
For sure. Yeah.
Yes.
He's accurate. He's so accurate.
Oh, my God. Precise is one word to describe him.
Poirier's been knocked out, what, 2-3 times in his career? If that, I think 2. Connor got him and somebody else got him. Michael Johnson.
Yeah.
Michael Johnson's speed. He's so fast.
Yeah.
Michael Chandler, teammate of Michael Johnson. Also fast as fuck, boy.
You know who else is super fast?
Who's that?
Max Holloway.
Yeah. And Max gave Dustin all he could handle.
Yeah. And Dustin gave him a lot more.
I have a weird feeling that Michael Chandler's going to win this fight.
No.
I think Dustin
Poirier. That's your gut and your hate for Michael Chandler, that you have a bad feeling that Michael Chandler's going to win this fight because you dislike Michael Chandler and you like Dustin Poirier. So it's more of a gut reaction of, man, I really think that I'm going to get upset here.
Right. So here's my thing. Here's where, if we go to the nuts and bolts of this, if we go to your binary ones and twos, or zeros and ones rather, Chandler's got the better wrestling credentials.
Yes.
I think he's got more physical power. And I think that he has the better, believe it or not, I think he's got the better chin. I think he's going to have the better chin. I think he does. I know he got knocked down in the Gaethje fight. I know Oliveira knocked him out. But Oliveira has sat everybody down that he's fought, with the exception of Islam Makhachev. And I mean, I'm not going to fault you for getting knocked down by Justin Gaethje. I just won't do it. I mean, if that's like saying you got hurt when you got hit by a car. Okay. Yeah, it makes sense.
Okay, but how long ago were the Michael Johnson and Conor McGregor knockouts on Dustin Poirier?
Oh, they were a long time ago.
Long time ago.
It was like 5-6 years. It was a long time.
Long time.
It's a long time. I think I'm just
– this is the people's main event. You're on Chandler.
No, but here – right. I agree with what you're saying, but what I'm getting at, this goes back to what I was saying about Frankie Edgar. I think Dustin Poirier has overstayed his welcome. I think he's overstayed his welcome. He has shown himself to be basically the ultimate gatekeeper. What, are you going to have him fight Islam now? Was he going to beat Michael Chandler and then fight Islam Makhachev and get choked out again? Like, what do you do with a guy like that who can beat most guys but can never, just can't get over the champ? I mean, the guy is a walking live, laugh, love meme. All he does is just talk in cliches and catchphrases, and then he's fighting the other guy who just cuts wrestling promos every time they put a microphone in front of him. But at this point, at this stage in their career, I don't even think Michael Chandler has more tread on the tires. I don't know.
Poirier's lost two fights in the last 5 years, one being to the GOAT, Khabib.
Don't call him the GOAT, but Khabib, yeah.
And the other one being Charlie Olives, who has snuffed everybody who's stepped in front of him outside of Islam.
Yeah, I mean, I think the smart play is Poirier. I'm just saying, Chandler.
Poirier by knockout.
Chandler by submission.
No, what, rear naked?
Yep.
Come on now.
He's gonna pop his head like a pimple. he's gonna scramble to his back and
Oh shit. Poirier's gonna drop that oversized dwarf.
You ready for the lock of the night?
Yeah. If we're opposite sides here, we got an issue.
Zhang Weili, 22-3, taking on Carla Esparza at 19-6.
Holy shit.
Zhang Weili, -325. Carla Esparza, +275.
Zhang Weili by knockout.
Zhang Weili for all the money.
Yeah.
For all the money. For all
the money. And you know what? I came into this. I didn't even look at the odds prior to this.
I love it. What?
Carlos Esparza's only method of victory here is to take Zhang Weili down.
Yeah.
Carlos Esparza's career takedown percentage, 32%. Not good. Not Mackenzie Dern bad, but still not good.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. No, she keeps it standing and she boxes her face off.
Why don't I have odds for the knockout on this one? Why don't I have that? Let me just look through these real quick. I don't have any props for that yet. That's upsetting.
Yeah, no, what's weird is UFC.com didn't even have the odds for this fight. They had odds for every other fight except for this one. So is there something going on where this fight might be canceled? Is there an injury that we don't know about?
That wouldn't matter at all because the UFC apparently doesn't care about that at all.
Yeah, that's a good point. They don't give a damn.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a split second before we get into this. For those of you that are unaware of what I'm talking about, obviously we're talking about the TJ Dillashaw and Aljamain Sterling fight where everybody and their brother, including the UFC and the officials, knew that TJ was hurt, but they let him fight anyway. That was pretty spicy. But then this last weekend, we had Derek Minner taking on what's a kid's name? Shylin Ya or whatever it is. I know. I'm butchering it. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Okay. Going into the fight, going into fight day, Law was like a -230, something like that effect. 4 hours before the event, he blows up to a -450, -500 on other lines or on other books. You, as a person that watches lines, what kind of action needs to take place in order for it to double your problem? I mean, we're going -230 to -500. What kind of action needs to come in to move a line like that?
Oh, and I mean, the action to come in to move a line like that has to be ridiculous sized bets. I'm talking and it has to come from not your average Joe. It has to come from guys that are respected in Vegas.
Right.
Realistically, for a line to move like that, inside information was leaked and they got wind of it and they bumped the line.
So would you say, like, maybe like if we had like a Discord chat,
UFC being the shady bitch that it is, I wouldn't be surprised if some people with big money laid some big money.
What if you and I had like a Discord, right? Like a gambling Discord. Mm-hmm. And there was like 250 people, 300 people in the Discord. And we got some information, right? Like Derek Minner has a partially torn ACL. Not good.
Yeah.
If we all went to our various books and put $5,000 a piece down.
Yeah.
Especially on like first round knockout.
Yeah. Yes.
That would move it. A couple hundred people.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's not going to be like, oh, what's the odds of, you know, 200 people placing this same bet for a large amount of money within a 10 or 15 minute stretch? Yeah.
If I told you that happened, would you be surprised?
No, I wouldn't. Is that what happened?
That's exactly what happened.
For fuck's sake.
Yeah. That's exactly what happened. And do you know who's at the center of said controversy?
Go ahead.
None other than Derek Minner's head coach.
No.
James Krause.
The
fucking slime ball himself.
The slime ball of all slime balls.
The slime ball himself.
This guy's going to ruin betting in MMA.
100%.
Like, it's going to...
100%.
It's going to end up being a sport you can't bet on.
Yeah. 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 There were books that removed it, that removed the fight in its entirety. In its entirety. I meant to screenshot it. And I have to go back. Maybe I have it. Hold on a second. Can you bear with me 1 second? Can we do bad radio for a minute?
No.
Let's see here. Give me 1 second. Somebody took a screenshot of the James Krause Discord, but not for that fight. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Why are you looking at that? Oz is down 90,000 votes. So close the gap a little bit, 45% of the votes in.
There you go.
Okay.
All right. So in Krause's Discord, it's him and his boy Shay, who is an equal slime ball.
Okay.
Who has supposedly lost millions of dollars of
money. So this is James Krause's Discord that he runs.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, he runs a betting Discord.
That's legit.
No conflict of interest at all, considering he manages and coaches fighters in the UFC, right?
That's like Sean McVay running a Discord, or Greg Popovich running a Discord.
Yeah. So this is what they're coordinating. This was the other night. October 27th is when the screenshot was taken from Shay. If anyone wants a max pump and dump position on College Football Tonight, let me know. Blast this ASAP, guys. This will be the move in 3, 2, 1. He actually does a countdown. Blast the over all the way to 56.5. In the Utah-Washington State game. The faster you bet, the better line will get. Play this all over. We'll move the line up and replay.
Okay.
That's a coordinated attack on a book.
It is, and it lost.
Yeah.
The final score is 21-17.
Yeah. But if you didn't watch the Derek Minner fight, the reason why this is also important is that Derek Minner walks out. He's dry as a bone, didn't work up a sweat in the back, nothing. Just walks out, moves around a little bit, throws a left kick. Left kick is blocked. Left high kick is blocked.
Yeah.
It's not like the Cater situation where you see the knee lock up and he fucking screams out in pain. He kicks and then just goes, ow, owie, and grabs it.
He tried to throw it one more time, correct?
And then Shaw gets close to him again, and he throws it again.
Yeah.
And then he just sits down and just covers up like that. And then he just sits there afterwards, and they're like, man, that was that. So wild, insane line movement. And then that. Super shady, bro.
Absolutely.
So shady. James Krause is going to ruin it for everybody. I mean, I'm not going to say the fight was fixed, but – That's close to fight fixing. It's close.
Yes, it is.
Okay. We got off topic here. It's supposed to be Zhang Weili versus Carlo Esparza.
I mean, I think we covered that. Zhang Weili. Yes.
I think she knocks her out.
Yeah, absolutely. I like the under 4.5. I like an alternate line of under 2.5. I think she gets her out early.
Yeah. Yeah. I just don't think we see the distanced mimicry song and dance of Rose versus Carla here. Zhang Weili's too. I think Zhang Weili. I guess my only concern with her would be if she's just over ambitious and walks into something that maybe she shouldn't.
But even if she's over ambitious, I think even if Carla Esparza gets her to the ground, I think she can survive, get out of whatever round it may be that she gets her to the ground and learn from her mistake.
Carla's got good wrestling. I don't want to shit on her. She's got good wrestling. Yeah. And in women's MMA, being very dominant at one thing can win you a fight. You do not have to be well-rounded in women's MMA.
But Zhang Weili's very dominant
everywhere. Standing up and striking. She's very good. And she's been wrestling with Cejudo.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, that chick.
Daniel Cormier says some stupid shit.
A lot of stupid. Most of the shit he says is stupid. Yes,
but one thing that he said that I completely agree with is Popeye's that Zhang Weili is the best female athlete that the UFC has ever seen. Her strength, her speed, her cardio, everything collectively is it's unbelievable.
That seems fair.
Yeah,
that seems fair. How fast do you think she is? Like
fast.
You think she could chase you down?
Yes.
Yeah, you're fucking slow. She could.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I forgot.
Hey, speaking of fast as fuck, boy.
Yeah.
Shout out to my 2-year-old. My 2-year-old ran in a race this past weekend.
Yeah.
Finished first in his age group.
Yeah.
2-4. My 2-year-old ran a mile in 14 minutes.
It's fast, bro.
Fast. Dude, can you imagine how many little steps that is?
That's a lot. It's like he ran 3 miles.
Yeah.
It's like he ran 3. It's like he ran 3 miles in 14 minutes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. He's like on a 4-minute mile pace. Yeah, he's like a regular person's 4-minute mile, like sub 4.
Yeah. Super fast.
Yeah. If he ever grows to be taller than 5'2", you should get him in track and field.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just not a lot of distance runners. Well, no, actually, I take that back. I think a lot of the ultra distance runners are shorter, aren't they?
Shorter and skinny. Yeah.
Yeah.
He said they got 2-year-olds running my. Yeah, man. Yeah. It was the turkey trot.
Yeah, bro. Ain't nobody trotting. It's competitive.
It's super competitive.
It is competitive.
Yeah. He put the wheels on. He made the final turn. They had like an MC there, and he was announcing, like, he's in all black with red shoes because, you know, the shoes got a flare.
Absolutely. Yeah. You got to
pop. And he made the corner, and the MC was like, look at the red shoes. Check out the kid with the red shoes. And everybody's standing there clapping. And he was just eating it up, man. I mean, it was like he looked tired, and then he made the turn, and it was chin up, and he was just
loving it.
Yeah,
he didn't even have the jets on. He could have ran it faster.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh man,
no, we didn't put the jets on. We really took in the atmosphere the final like quarter mile.
I like that.
Yeah,
I like that. Natural born athlete, bro.
For sure.
Takes after his uncle. I like it. Takes after his uncle. All right. Main event of the evening, Israel Adesanya, 23-1, taking on Alex Pereira at 6-1. Jake's got the line for Izzy at -208. I saw him today at certain spots, -175, yeah. 180. It's kind of all over the place here, but that's okay. The pick's probably going to stay the same. Pereira +178, over on rounds is at 4.5. I think this is very interesting, right? This is one of those lines where Vegas sort of tells you how they see this fight playing out, right?
Correct.
If they're putting it at 4.5, Vegas thinks that Izzy by slow, boring ass decision. Yes?
Yeah. Tactical decision.
Tactical. We'll go tactical. You keep giving him credit like he's smart, and I'll keep pretending that he is. He's not.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not.
Yes, he's he not. Is.
He thinks he's slick. He thinks he's good on the mic. He thinks he's good at talking shit. He thinks he's better. Like he's three steps ahead of everybody else. He's not.
He will be on Saturday night.
Will be on Saturday night. He's going to fuck up Alex Pereira. People are going to be very upset. Now,
so hear me. Hear me.
Go ahead.
Hear me out here.
Okay.
Who's a fighter that Izzy is very close with in the heavyweight division?
Moving close.
As far as friendship.
Oh, well, are you talking about like Francis?
Francis.
Okay, all right.
When Francis went up against an inexperienced mixed martial artist who likes to stand, what did Francis do? And Cyril Gane.
Okay, we're talking about Cyril Gane. Okay, you're talking about wrestling. Gone. Okay, gotcha. Do me a favor. Keep your pinky down. You distract me with that pinky. That thing. Oh, yuck. Put it down. There you go. Weird ass fucking claw.
Do we think that Izzy uses some wrestling here?
No.
No?
No, I don't think
he... You think he's too prideful?
I just want to
stand there and basically beat him in a kickboxing match.
I think that if you go back and you watch Izzy's fights against Pereira kickboxing and realize that what made Pereira win those fights was the fact that he has, and here's a drinking game for everybody on Saturday night.
Oh boy.
Anytime Rogan says death touch or touch of death regarding Alex Pereira, you got to take a shot.
Okay? You won't see the second round.
Yeah, you will. So, I think if it's not for that, Izzy's beating him in those fights. Like he's literally winning every moment of the fight up until the touch, if you will. I have no reason to believe that this is going to go much different. And I think that with 4 ounce gloves, him hitting Pereira the way he was hitting him during the kickboxing matches, if it leads the way, Izzy tried to be slick. And he was talking about Pereira being frozen, calling him Elsa and being stiff. That's all he's saying. He's just saying that he's stiff. And he's absolutely right. One of the things that Izzy doesn't realize, though, is he fights like James Vick with his skin, or with his, not his skin, but his chin pointed to the sky, like he's looking for answers from above. Both of these guys have, despite being world-class, world champion kickboxers, have very, I don't want to say that, not as a total, but both of them have glaring fundamental deficiencies. Pereira with hands low and he's wildly stiff. And then Izzy exiting every exchange with his chin pointed skyward. It's very, very strange how either one of them haven't been caught more than they have been. That leans itself to a Pereira potential knockout. But I think Izzy's too smart at this point. I think he keeps the range. I think you see a John Jones style win here. I think we see elliptical kicks. I think you see knee stomps. I think you see clinches. I don't be shocked at all if we don't see one or two eye pokes in the first round. He's going to keep that lead hand out. He's going to be fingers out, up the whole nine. He'll be putting those manicured fucking sugar soft G-H-E-Y gay fingers all in Pereira's face. All up in there, dude. Yeah, manicured toes. You know what I call that? What, suspect? Because he definitely is smart. Yeah.
I call that smart fighting.
Yeah.
Keeping your distance, throwing strikes that should be illegal that are legal.
Yeah. It will be. I think Izzy, and I think he knocks him out. I think Izzy by knockout.
I do too. I think Izzy knocks him out in the third or fourth round.
I think 4.5 is a trap. Yeah. That being, well, I love playing the if and that because I think about this. I've been thinking about this. Camp Glover Teixeira is on a roll right now. It's very tough to beat somebody coming out of Camp Glover. And I mean, Pereira's fighting out of there. Poetan. I'm still on Izzy, man. I'm on Izzy by knockout. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. He wore a pearl necklace. Thank you, Austin. I forgot about that. I can't with that. Just the fucking worst, man. Ugh.
This is a really rare occasion, but I was just thinking back through this main card. I'm 100% chalk on this main card.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to play a chalk parlay. I'm just going to go straight favorites, all five favorites on this main card.
Yeah.
And I think it's been a while since we've had a main card that's gone chalk.
It has been. And when Chandler hits, you're going to regret that all chalk parlay.
No shot.
But What's interesting about these, excuse me, these pay-per-views like this that people get hyped up for is we usually see lines like this scattered throughout the main card. The minus two to 250s with the plus 180 to plus twos on the comeback. But people continue to get hyped up for the matchmaking. It seems very, while competitive, it still seems cut and dry, you know, on how it's going to play out. And it very rarely does. Somebody's going to screw this up. Somebody's going to screw it up. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody's going
to
screw it up.
Well, that's why it's going to be probably, you know, 12 or 13 to one. So,
yeah. All right. Well, we'll see what it's going to be. All right. Let's see. You want to go? We'll go prelims. We got to cover them all, man.
Yeah. Who's the features? What, Brad Riddell?
Yeah. And Hanada. Oh, boy.
Moicano.
All right. First fight on the prelims, the early prelims. Nikolai Negomarianu taking on Carlos Blackjack Olberg. Olberg at 6-1, Negomarianu at 13-1. You can get plus money on Nikolai Negomarianu. Olberg at a minus 130 over under on rounds is at 1.5. Do you have a strong opinion about this fight? Because I do.
No, I don't. Go ahead. Tell me why Nikolai is going to win this fight.
He absolutely is going to win this fight. You know why? He's going to win it for all of us pierogi eating, cabbage loving, fucking Eastern Bloc European descended motherfucker. He is going to take it to this pretty boy that is Carlos Olberg, who is only in the UFC because he's Izzy's best friend and sparring partner. One of the most popular plays you're going to see this weekend on people is Olberg by knockout. You know why? Because he is wildly handsome. He hits very, very hard. And Negomarianu can be hit, but dude, just give me that giant. What is he, Moldovan? What is Negomarianu? Where is he from? What is that? What flag is that?
I'll let you know. Hang on here.
Romania. That giant Romanian dude. That dude literally is pulling like it. He's pulling a wooden cart with a mule to get around. Give me that. Give me Romanian. Give me Romania for all my money. Yes.
Wow. All your money.
Not all my money, but some of my money. Some of my money. I know. To get a little bit more precise about this, Negomarianu is a grinder, and he's got a chin on him. I think right now, if I'm not mistaken, I read a stat that he significant strikes absorbed versus handed out is almost like 2.8 to 1.
That's a lot.
So he gets hit a lot, but he's a grinder. So what you're saying is we're siding with the man for pierogies and halushki. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Beard hair? Rogue beard hair cut loose? Oh, dude. That's so terrible. You look like Matthew McConaughey crying in Interstellar right there.
That was so good. That was
wild. Oh, man. Anyway, but he's a grinder, and he's got grit, and he's got three-round cardio where Olberg does not. He puts everything he has into every strike he throws, so if he can't get you out of there, he'll wilt. He's not built. I mean, if you just look at him, he's not built for ugly. He's not built for grimy. So if Negomarianu can make the fight grimy, if you're on Olberg round one, everything after that, you live bet Negomarianu. It'll get better. I'm on him. Okay. I love it. It's a good spot. I don't love it like I did Matush Gamrot.
Don't stop bringing it up.
Oh, bro, it's so funny. I just love just completely eating shit on stuff I'm highly confident in. I just like Negomarianu in the spot. All right, Julio Arce taking on Montel Jackson. Montel Jackson 11-2. Julio Arce at 18-5. Arce at the plus 170 spot. Montel Jackson minus 200 over and around 2.5. What do you got?
The over 2.5.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. What's that come back at? Do you know?
I don't know the odds on it.
I got you.
Montel Jackson by decision.
Montel, oh gosh, you're really living dangerous here. Go over 2.5, you're at minus 170.
Yeah. So, yeah, Montel Jackson by decision is probably going to be like a plus 200.
Let's see. Jackson wins by decision, plus 165.
Yeah, close enough.
You going to go with that?
Yeah.
I think Montel Jackson wins the fight. I don't necessarily, I mean, I can't bet a fighter to win by decision anymore.
I know you can't.
I can't. I just can't do it. It's bad. It's bad juju. All right. Mike Trezano taking on Sungwoo Choi. Sungwoo Choi at 10-5. Mike Trezano, the wolf, at 9-3. Overrunner rounds is at 2.5. I'm a little upset they didn't put my man Sungwoo Choi on the Korea card, but that's okay. He's got a favorable matchup here against Trezano. I think he gets it done at the minus 162 spot. Over and around is at 2.5. What do you think?
I have no opinion here.
No opinion. All right. None. Well, all right. Well, no. If you have an opinion, this is what it should be.
Okay. Tell me what it should say.
Well, Trezano, if he was smart, would want to wrestle here, but he's not going to because his fight IQ is low. So he's going to engage in a stand-up battle with Sungwoo Choi, who's got to have who's going to be a little bit slicker on the feet, be a little bit faster, probably not as durable, but if you're going to go tit for tat, I mean, Sungwoo Choi will essentially be a ghost out there against Trezano, who's just kind of plodding, just kind of slow. He just doesn't use his wrestling. He just doesn't do the thing that he should do, and we can't bet on what somebody should do. We have to bet on what they will do, and Trezano has not shown himself to use his wrestling. So I'm on Choi here at the minus 162 spot. I think it's a good spot to take him at. I'm looking at a money line play. Yeah?
Yes.
Okay.
Looking at them updated.
We got one of my favorite spots of the night coming up. Carolina Kowalkiewicz taking on Sylvania Gomez-Juarez. Gomez-Juarez at a plus 100. Carolina, KK, my girl. She's coming back at a minus 120 over on around at 2.5. You got something to say about this one?
No. I want you to go ahead and tell me why Carolina's going to win this fight.
She is not. Carolina's going to get knocked out here.
Oh.
And you know how much that hurts me.
I do.
You know how much it hurts me to say that because I love a good Eastern Bloc woman with sturdy hips and, you know, like we said earlier, that can make some pierogies. Like I love Carolina. She's been that's been my girl for 15 years now.
I know, but how do you bet somebody who's beaten only Felice Herrig in the last 4 years?
I completely agree.
You said Carolina's going to lose the fight.
I'm
giving you fuel to the fire.
Here's my thing is you're saying, how can I bet somebody? Yes. Well, I bet her off of strength of schedule. I know that she's only beaten Felice Herrig,
correct,
but she's fought the who's who. So like in theory, there's nothing that Sylvana Gomez-Juarez should show her that she hasn't seen before. My problem is that she beat Felice Herrig, but do I think that she looked good against Felice Herrig?
No.
I definitely think that was more just a win based on the decline of both of those women and her just being a little less down the hill than Felice Herrig was. Meanwhile, Gomez-Juarez is coming in and she is very sturdy and hits
hard.
Very hard.
Super hard.
Throws punches like she's throwing baseballs. And traditionally speaking, against unrelenting power, Carolina has not fared very well. So I'm on Gomez-Juarez here. I'm thankful that it is women's science because I was going to play it anyway at this. So I'll take the plus money, please and thank you. And I'm going to take her by knockout here as well. I'm trying not to overexpose myself and go knockout and under 2.5 because I want to play all three.
Correct.
But I know that's overexposure.
Yes, it is.
And what's going to happen is Carolina is going to win by decision, and I'm going to fucking lose all three.
Correct.
So I'm just going to take Sylvania, Gomez-Juarez, money line, and I'm going to take her by knockout as well.
And Gomez-Juarez only has one bad loss on her record.
But you're talking about the Demopoulos loss?
No, Loopy.
Yes. You're a special kind of person. You know that? You are a special kind of person. Do you think that Carolina can armbar her?
No.
Okay. Okay. Oh, man. Huh?
No.
Okay.
You think she can?
I don't know, because Carolina's got submission wins.
She does, but have you see ever? It's like trying to think of a comparison here.
No, like, she can't. I'm not overthinking this. Juarez beats her, knocks her out.
So if you took like a marker,
yeah,
you know, you could break a marker in half.
What kind of marker?
It's like a marker, like a Crayola marker.
You can't break a Crayola marker with your hands right now. You can't do that.
Okay. If you took a full-size Crayola crayon, you could break it in half.
100%. You can do that.
If you took a little nub of that Crayola crayon, you couldn't break it in half. And that's comparison to a normal person's arms versus Gomez Juarez's
arms. I'm over it. This is it. You thought my freaking Nebraska thing was bad. What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
The shorter the object, the harder it is to break.
Yeah. Do you think that people with short arms should be allowed to enter bench press competitions?
They're at an extreme advantage.
It's unbelievable, right? It's unbelievable.
But if you look at the majority of them, they're
or like arms. You ever see the people that lift and they've got like they arch like their belly like this like their breastplate up to the bar and they just do like that.
That's professional. I mean, that's how.
I hate that.
I know, but that's what it is.
As somebody whose fingertips touch their knees, I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that at all. It's not fair.
No, yeah, it's not fair.
It's not fair. You don't have that problem. You're.
What are you, bro?
You got short arms.
I don't think so.
You don't think?
I feel like my wingspan is appropriate to my height.
Is it? Did you ever hear the thing where like fingertip to fingertip is how tall you are?
Yes, that's what I was getting at.
Yeah, I know. But I'm saying, like, have you measured that out?
No, but I'm going to after this.
Yeah, we should.
Because I'm pretty sure I'm probably like spot on.
Do you think you're like a perfect
I'm a perfect 5'8" and a half.
The Da Vinci dude, like the Da Vinci drawing, where you
absolutely.
What is that called, producer Jake? What's that called, the Da Vinci man? He just rolled his eyes, dude. He just fucking rolled his eyes at me. Are you kidding? Look up the Da Vinci dude. Fucking rolls his eyes back there.
Next.
Unbelievable. Who is this guy? I want to look up the knockout line on Warren.
Okay.
Give me one second. Don't rush me while he's looking that up. Juarez by KO plus 300. Let's go. The Vitruvian man. Thank you. Thank you. So you are, dude, if yours is exact, I'm we got to change it. You have to be the Vitruvian man.
So like side note off topic from MMA, but in topic for the whole wingspan argument.
Yeah.
Have you seen this Victor Wembanyama kid from France? Victor Wembanyama.
I have no idea what that means.
So he's 7'4". He's looked at as like the best prospect since LeBron James in the NBA.
Oh my God.
Dude. Okay. Dale, I'm talking 7'4". He shoots threes off of 1 foot fading away. He's unbelievable. This kid's incredible. Wingspan?
Yeah.
8'2".
8'2".
Yeah. Dude, it's wild.
Jeez, oh man.
Yeah.
Wow, I have another desk over there. It feels like you probably type. Man,
you enjoy basketball. When we get off here, I just want you to look up Victor Wembanyama.
How much money would it take for you to let him stick his middle finger in your butthole?
$1,000.
Here's the reason why I bring that up.
Because I'd take that $1,000 and put it on a rock chalk main card and walk away with 12 or 13 grand.
That's right. That's the reason why I bring up the finger in the butthole is exactly. Did you see what's going on with Colby Covington?
Yeah, didn't he put his finger in some chick MMA's fighter's butthole?
No, the other way around.
Oh, she put her finger in his butthole. Okay,
yeah,
cool, perfect.
Yeah, yeah. Not Paul.
It's a natural reset button.
Paul. Pauliot Viana, who just knocked out Jin Yu Fry, which punchless curse in action there on Jin Yu Fry. Yeah, supposedly, I mean, back a couple, that was probably about a year ago, Colby said that they were messing around. He was working on his bedroom cardio with Pollyanna. Mm-hmm. She didn't like that, thought it was a very not classy. So she's currently suspended from Twitter because she came out and said that Colby asked for her to put her finger
in his butt,
in his butthole, while giving him the old BJ, and she would not do it, and he got upset.
Well, I think I'm pretty sure this is medically proven. Not that I've ever experienced this.
You are a merc, so
I'm pretty sure the male G spot is in the butthole.
I think that's
inside the anus.
I think that's a conspiracy theory. Theory that gay dudes tell each other to try to convince themselves to let something in there.
I don't want to give my FBI agent a ruse, and I don't want to Google this right now because, you know, he's watching everything I do.
Bro.
But I'm pretty sure that's real.
Do you think like the road trip thing where like she was like milking Stifler's prostate, like that was a real thing?
Yeah.
Isn't that what they're talking about?
Maybe.
Is the skin from your butthole and your lips the same skin? I've heard that before.
They'll take skin grafts from your butthole.
Oh my gosh. And put it on your lips.
Mm-hmm.
What about your eyelids? Same thing. It feels like it's the same kind of skin.
I mean, I don't know if there's butthole to eyelids surgery, but I know that skin graft can be taken from the actual sphincter.
Does it grow back or do you just have an open butthole?
Yeah. No, it's like a lizard.
So your butthole regenerates?
Maybe.
Well, no, you're talking about it like it's fact. I need to know these things.
I would assume so because, like we spoke earlier through text message, when you wipe so much in a day and you get
blood. Why are you blowing up my text? Don't do that. That's violation of the code. Don't blow up the text. Don't blow up the group chat. You can't do that.
I would think it regenerates. It's like any other skin.
I don't know, dude. Like you talk about like a liver, like you can like cut your liver in half and it'll grow back like a lizard.
Correct.
But I feel like Jake's like, what? Yeah, well, that's a real thing, Jake.
I mean, that is no different than the largest organ on your body, which is your skin.
Okay. But well, that was some Jeopardy shit. Okay. So, but what I'm saying is, I feel like so I've had stuff cut out of my skin before and it didn't grow back. It healed, but the skin didn't grow back. It healed.
Okay.
There's a difference.
What you had what cut off your body?
Like I got scars all over the place. I've had stuff removed.
Yeah.
But my skin healed. It didn't grow back. So what I'm saying, like, is if say I lost
your skin adheres together, your skin is naturally flexible. It has flexibility. So it adheres together and just makes it tighter.
I understand that. But let's say
it's like the extra stitch after chicks give birth.
Allegedly. Let's just say hypothetically in a rogue fireworks accident, I lose my eyelid.
Yes.
If they take an eyelid size piece of skin from my butthole and put it on my eyelid, will the eyelid size piece of skin from my butthole grow back, or will that skin just heal? Is what I'm getting at.
I would say yes.
To what? I said two things. I said two things there.
I would say yes. The skin. We're getting so off topic.
We got two fights left. It doesn't matter.
I would say yes. The skin on your butthole would grow back.
I don't know if that's accurate. I'm okay with it though. I just feel like donating butthole skin to everybody then, dude. Can I take pieces of my butthole and fill in these scars I have then, knowing that my butthole skin would grow back?
I'm looking it up.
Here you go. Now we're getting down to the brass tacks of it. The real question is, how do you prevent getting pink eye if you use your butthole mud flap for eyelids?
So.
that's the question. That's a great question.
No, there's a pretty simple answer to this.
Okay. Well, you got to wash your eyes all the time?
No, Dale.
Oh, what?
Before they use the butthole mud flap on your eyelid, they would clean it and it would be sterilized. It would be clean. You wouldn't have shit particles on your eyelids.
I have a question. I feel like I'm learning about the human body all over again. He's saying butthole mud flap. I don't have a mud flap on my butthole. I just have a butthole.
Those are called anal skin tags.
Do you have a piece of skin that covers your butthole? Do you have a piece of skin that covers your butthole?
Austin, you should get that checked out.
I don't have to open a door for anything to come out. I don't have to pin anything to the side. Yeah, I don't have to lift anything out of the way. Yeah, I don't know about that. I read that like it was just like that was a thing that everybody had. That's not the case.
Do you have like naked chick silhouettes on your butthole mud flap?
She's sitting like that. Oh my gosh. Oh man. Yeah, if you got a flap, bro, we got to have that looked at. All right, Ottman Azatar at -115 taking on Matt the Steamroller Frivola.
Yes.
Azatar, another guy, goes back to the Joe Rogan touch of death. This is another guy you'll hear Rogan talk about it with. -127 for Vola, +107. Over and around is 2.5. Are you on Frivola here? I know you're a big Frivola guy.
I'm big on Matt Frivola here. Yeah.
Tell me more.
Dude, it's been over 2 years.
No, he just fought.
No, since
Ottman.
Yeah, since Ottman fought.
Yeah.
It's a lot of ring rust. Matt Frivola comes out, and I think a pace is key here. Yeah. He puts a pace on him, exposes the ring rust, and I really do like Matt Frivola here.
One of the things that makes me nervous about this.
You remember Matt Frivola beat a guy that we're both super high on.
Who's that?
Jalen Turner.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just going to brush that off. Yeah, that,
no, it was good. I mean, the Jalen Turner he fought then is not the Jalen Turner that exists now. Jalen Turner that exists now just murders Matt Frivola and eats a soul out of his lifeless body. The thing that concerns me here is Ottman's a company man. He's a company man. I'm not talking about fight fixing. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm just saying company men have had a real go of things right now. And very interesting. Also, just so you're aware, maybe it matters to you, maybe it doesn't. Matt Frivola's got a Baphomet tattooed on his back.
No, I know he does.
I hate that.
Who was it? McKinney?
Yep.
That we saw that for the first time and we were like, whoa.
Yeah.
What is on his back?
Yeah. I feel like as principal alone, I can't bet a guy that's got Baphomet tattooed on him. That's weird for me. Under two and a half.
I don't know, dude. I still bet Tyreek Hill's over on yards weekly.
Oh man, he murders. Well, he doesn't murder, but he beats the hell
out. The hell out of his pregnant girlfriend. I still bet on that guy.
Bad. It's real bad.
Yeah.
Oh, yikes.
Yep.
You think Baphomet's? Oh, bro. I don't know.
One's a tattoo. One's a real action. Still bet on him.
I know. Can I just stay away from it?
Yeah, you can stay away from it while I make money on Matt Frivola. That's fine.
Fair enough. You make money on it, I'll stay away. What's up with your boy, man?
Where'd he go?
I don't know. All right. Andre Petroski, 8-1, taking on Wellington Turman at 18-5. He's still here. We just can't see him. Mm-hmm. -200 on Andre Petroski. Wellington Turman, +170. He didn't say he turned his camera off to check for mud flaps. Oh man. Over under on rounds at 2.5. How do you feel about this? Because Wellington Turman has been Wellington Turdman for a long time, but he's kind of turned it around here.
Yeah.
And Petroski, a bit of a killer for about 7 minutes, and then it's game over for him. So I think you get Petroski in round one, and then after that it's the Wellington Turman show. What do you think?
Yeah. And I'm okay with taking Turman here because we really didn't pick a sizable dog, and there's one more fight that there's a sizable dog in this card.
Okay,
unless that fight got canceled.
Wow. Are you, so are we just breezing over that you're cool with
Thurman? No, I'm cool with Thurman.
Okay. So, again, like I said, if you're on Petroski, you're on Petroski in round one. Okay? You're not on Petroski late. When you see him walk out, he's just nothing but muscle. He does not. He's got 7 minutes of fight in him, and it's over after that. So, even if it's a rough round one, Thurman is worth consideration. Still, if you're a live bet guy, the reason why this is, I don't normally talk about live betting, but
we live betting is value. There's a lot of value in live betting.
There's a lot of value in live betting, and we've seen a couple spots the last few events where guys and gals were losing large portions of the fight and still pulled out a victory. And even then, with judging being so hit and miss lately, if it's a close fight, visually speaking, you know, you may be able to get good lines because they're leaning some way. I'm trying to think of the most recent. What was like? I think Piotr Jan was like -380 at the end of the fight, like live round or like live betting was like -380, -400 on O'Malley. I mean, if you're betting O'Malley live throughout the course of that fight, you're making bank when he wins. So, again, second time I've brought it up, Petroski round one. Hell, even end of round two, but I think Wellington Thurman has to survive round one, and after that, it's all him. So you can play him a little bit money line going into it, and maybe, you know, if you say I'm going to set aside a unit for it, total, you know, half money line, half live, get yourself a steeper line. So anyway, all right, Aaron Blanchfield taking on Molly McCann. Molly McCann at 13-4, Aaron Blanchfield at 9-1, -400 for Aaron Blanchfield, +300 for Meatball Molly over in rounds of 2.5. Are you this excited about Molly McCann?
Dude, at +300, yes. Bro. I'm sorry. Listen, Dale.
Yeah.
There's not.
I know.
+300 is ridiculous.
I know.
And I'm not saying I think I'm not saying in a 50-50 am I saying yes, Molly McCann wins this fight, but at 3-1 on my money, absolutely. So, this is value in my opinion.
So McCann wins this fight by knockout. Blanchfield wins this by sub.
Correct.
I think you just play those.
What's Meatball Molly by KO? Because I mean, no, see that's. That's where I get pissed when she does win a decision.
Okay. So Blanchfield by sub +250. McCann by KO +650. I mean, you can do a quarter of a unit.
I would rather just go Meatball +300.
Okay.
It's the biggest dog on the card.
She's the biggest dog on the card.
How?
Because Blanchfield.
And I know Blanchfield's good.
Yeah.
But I mean, so Miranda Maverick called her out, right? Meatball. Yeah.
So here's the thing about Miranda. Miranda's been calling for the Meatball fight for over a year now. Like she had said this last weekend, she's like, I've been calling for this fight before she has the clout that she has now. Yeah. That was her quote, because she has been. I think when she was on the show before, she was like, I want to fight Molly McCann.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, I think that'll be a fun fight. I want to fight her. And
it would be a super fun fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'd be a banger.
Yeah.
I think Miranda Maverick beats her.
Yeah.
But it would be a very fisticuffs heavy, aggressive chick fight for sure.
What are your thoughts real quick on Miranda's performance this last weekend? I mean, I felt like she should have been able to get Shanna out of there, right? I mean, she was she was so close, like 10 times.
Yeah, she was super close. But at the same point, I mean, the same point in time, when you're in there, a win by knockout and a win by decision, a win's a win.
Yeah. Here's what I wonder, right? Everybody's been doing this. They're shouting out skinny bets, right? Which I don't know how the UFC is allowing that, but they are. What's stopping a guy like Skinny going up to somebody like Miranda, who's a minus 700 favorite, right? And just says, $35,000 goes to decision.
Yeah.
Not telling her to throw the fight at all, right? Doesn't change the outcome of it. But like,
I mean,
$35,000 over a round and a half.
Yeah, this has been happening in sports, in individual sports. It's a lot harder in team sports.
Yeah.
But in individual sports, it's been happening, and it's never going to stop.
Right.
Somebody's always got a stake. Somebody's always got a dog in the fight, and there's always the risk of fighters who have the ability to dictate how the fight ends, whether it be by knockout or by submission or by decision.
Yeah.
So when you're that sizable of a favorite, when it's that big of a mismatch and you have the ability to dictate how the fight finishes, there's always that risk.
So one of the things that was brought to my attention, and I am not a professional fighter, believe it or not. And one of the things that was brought to my attention was like the rear naked choke positions that Miranda was getting her in.
Yeah.
She was under the chin, would bring the arm around and then let go.
Yeah.
Like she just wasn't like, it was there. It was there. Now, like the ground and pound, I believe Shannon was doing just enough to not get stopped, right? Like every time that the ref was telling her to move, she would move. But the chokes, I mean, they were there. They were there. And I mean, again, I wasn't in there. I'm not accusing her of anything. I just thought that was just very interesting. Very interesting. All right. We got two more fights. Let's roll through these. Dominic Reyes, 12-3. Ryan Spann, 20-7. Reyes, minus 210. Spann, plus 180. Overrun rounds is at 1.5. I can't figure out whether or not Ryan Spann's good. I don't think he is.
No, I don't think he is.
Dominic Cruz here? Or Dominic Reyes? I'm sorry.
I do. Yeah, Dominic Reyes.
Okay. There's questions being here. If Dominic Reyes loses this fight, he's cooked, right? We're done here. He can't lose the Ryan Spann.
No, he can't lose the Ryan Spann. And I can't hold his last three losses against him. He ran in John Jones and Yuri.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you 95% of the weight class is coming out of that stretch 0-3.
Right.
So
yeah. Yeah, biggest wins. I mean, oh gosh. You know.
Ryan Spann lost to Johnny Walker.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who else did he lose to? He lost to somebody else bad.
Anthony Smith.
Yeah. Not that Anthony Smith's bad, but he got subbed by Anthony Smith.
Yeah. He also got subbed by Robert Drysdale, who, if you remember Drysdale, he's about 160 pounds. So, yeah. I mean, that's not a good look for him either. All right.
Yeah. I like Tom Reyes here.
Okay.
When's Yuri fight again, by the way?
The Glover pay-per-view at the end of the month.
Okay.
Yeah. They just dropped the fight poster for it. It's sick.
Okay.
Or December 3rd, maybe. Maybe it's the December 3rd card. All right. Hanata Moicano at 16-5-1, taking on Brad Quake Riddell. Riddell is at 10-3. Moicano minus 123. Riddell is the underdog here. Former training partner of Rafael Fiziev, who fucked up Moicano. Is this a trap? Is this a trap? I feel like this is Riddell all day and easily. Why?
I agree. Him at plus money here.
Yeah. Okay. I think Moicano had that short notice war against, who was that, RDA? And Vegas is just giving him a ton of love here. I just don't think that's the case. I don't think he's got it. I think that takes years off of your life. I think he was fringe, getting close to being cut before that. Mm-hmm. And they're putting him up against a super clean kickboxer in Brad Riddell.
Yeah.
Now, Riddell is easily submitted.
Yes.
So Moicano would be wise to use his jiu-jitsu here. I think if you're on the Moicano side, why not just give yourself plus money and go submission? He is not knocking out Brad Riddell. So Moicano by submission or Brad Riddell money line, knockout.
I don't want to chase giant odds. I would just take Brad Riddell.
Okay, fair enough. All right, let's go top to bottom real quick. Let's run money lines.
Okay.
Just leans, doesn't have to be locks. You just say what you think. All right. Yeah. Olberg, Negomarianu. There we go. I just wanted to hear you say it. Jackson and Arce.
Jackson.
I'm on Jackson as well. Choi and Trezano.
Choi.
I'm on Choi as well. Carolina and Silvana.
Little crayon.
Is that Silvana?
Yeah.
Okay. Ottman Azatar, Matt Frivola.
Steamroller, baby.
I'm staying away from that. Real quick. Hold on a second. I have to do something real quick.
Can you not?
I have to. Just give me 2 seconds, okay? Can you just give me a second?
Trying to play some co-op Halo, man.
All right, give me a second, man. Give me a second. I want to show you something.
What up, man?
I need you to see Matt Frivola's Tapology picture.
Okay. Speaking of that, this Sunday, 2 episodes of Yellowstone.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Yeah. I like that.
All right. That's a little more Brokeback Mountain-ish, but.
Yeah, a little bit cool. All right. Wellington Terman, Andre Petrosky.
Petrosky.
Really? I'm on Terman there. All right. Molly McCann, Aaron Blanchfield.
Oh, Molly McCann.
Okay.
Meatball.
Span Reyes.
Reyes.
I'm on Reyes. Riddell Moicano.
Riddell.
I'm on Riddell. Claudio Pulis, Dan Hooker.
Dan Hooker.
Hooker. Edgar Gutierrez.
Gutierrez.
As well. Poirier and Chandler.
Poirier.
Oh, man. I can't pick Michael Chandler in a fight. Give me Poirier.
Thank you.
I can't do it.
Thank you.
I hate him too much, man. Carlos Barza, Zhang Weili.
Weili by murder.
Yeah. And Israel Adesanya, Alex Pereira.
Izzy.
Yeah.
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 Izzy.
Izzy. I agree. We're down the middle. I think I'm just staying away from the Frivola fight.
Listen, when are we ever going to get Izzy at a -170 again?
Once he beats Pereira, never.
Never, dude.
Never. You're never going to see it again. No. Unless he goes unless he tries to do the light heavyweight thing again. It's the only time you see it. But Jan humbled his ass.
Well,
and you know damn well he ain't going up there and fighting Jiří.
No.
Right. You know he did.
No, that'd be bad news.
Never, bro. Never.
Dude, he wouldn't. Could you imagine him fighting Glover?
No, bad news, bro.
Bad news.
Because Glover is just going to look at that and go, who's this fucking cheap John Jones looking motherfucker? And he's going to try to get revenge on him. That's exactly what's going to happen there. So, all right. Appreciate everybody that tuned in the live stream. Thanks for everybody that tunes in, downloads the show weekly. If you're not familiar, Soup and his co-host Tyler have a fantastic, basically they bet on everything that's not MMA, called Give Me the Points. You guys go live on YouTube on most Wednesday nights.
Last week I was too ill.
You were too sick. Most Wednesday nights you're live, but you do weekly shows. And if you don't have that, then your plays are all available on your Instagram, which is at Give Me the Points.
At Give Me the Points.
Okay.
As well as the Action Network.
Yeah, GIMME. Give Me the Points.
GIMME.
So check them out there, and appreciate everybody that tunes into the show consistently. I am off Instagram for a while, just real quick.
Shadow ban.
The shadow ban's been real for a while, but some little fucking snake, some little sneaky, slimy, slithering rat is reporting everything I do. Everything.
And I have suspicions.
And I keep getting little notifications about posts that are violating, even though I'm not doing anything, that I'm violating hate speech and violence and everything else. Somebody is reporting every single thing I do. So in an effort to not lose the account, I'm just going to let it sit for a while. So if you want to interact with me, you can at Twitter. Or on Twitter at Punchless MMA. And you can shoot me an email, chat at Punchless MMA as well. So
64% of the votes in. Oz is, he's closed the gap. He's 33,000 votes behind.
Interesting.
It's gonna be in, dude. It's gonna be interesting.
So, all right.
On a serious note, one more thing.
Yeah.
This is not something to be taken lightly.
Oh gosh, you got to tell me you're about to get super. Come on, man. What are you doing? What?
Every 6 months, go to your PCP and get your fucking butthole mud flaps checked out.
Oh gosh, all right. Once you hit 35, get your prostate checked. All right. See you guys. Be good to each other.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.